A woman who could be your grandmother has just slipped cans of cat food into her shopping cart. Now she can afford this month's medicines. This isn't a myth. 9.6 million seniors don't get enough to eat. This is where Robert Egger comes in. In 1989, Robert started DC Central Kitchen by training the people employers often ignored, ex-convicts and kids who had aged out of the foster care system. They sourced from local farmers, and DC Kitchen ended up doing 30 million meals, many of them supplying DC schools. Well, now Robert Egger is in Los Angeles. He's setting out to feed our most ignored citizens, seniors. Robert, good to have you with us.
Great to be here, Lynn.
So, from where you stand, what don't we understand about growing old in the United States?
Well, you know, there's the theory that we plan for old age based on wishful thinking, that somehow we'll all be healthy, we'll be happy, we'll have enough money put aside. And that's probably my greatest concern. It's just that you're going to see a significant amount of people who won't have enough money left for the extra year science is going to give them. And the question becomes, how do we take care of those men and women who pay taxes, contribute to our society, and are our elders?
So what does LA Kitchen do? Because I gather that one of your goals is to take care of those people.
It is. What I've launched in Los Angeles is more of a social business. We've arrived here and saying, you know, metaphorically to the city, you spend a significant amount of money on senior meal contracts, but you historically get processed meals made by people at a modest wage, and then profit leaves Los Angeles and never comes back. Let's try it a new way. You know, I'd like to apply for those contracts, and I'll make an effort to buy food from local farmers, which could include urban farms. I'll train and then employ men and women home from prison and give them good wage jobs. We'll prepare freshly scratched meals every single day, and money will never leave Los Angeles. It'll be reinvested either in wages, the support to local farms, or back to support the job training program, which starts the process all over again.
Okay, but now money is the hitch here. I mean, how much is allotted by the government for a senior meal?
I'm glad you brought that up because, you know, federal reimbursement drives so much of food policy and food in America, whether it's school food, prison food, senior meals. But senior meals currently have one of the highest reimbursement rates of about $3.50 to $3.80. Now, of course, that includes the meal itself and the labor and certain things like milk and condiments that go along with it.
Mm-hmm.
So there's as you can imagine, there's a pretty historic system of Meals on Wheels and senior service centers. But I think what we're looking at is the baby boomers coming. And so not only will you have more people, but you're going to have, I think, a greater sense of expectation about nutritional content. And I think a much more of a great need and desire to be engaged beyond just, you know, playing dominoes and listening to Rudy Valley records.
You said at one point that there's a lot of rigidity around senior meals. And what do you mean by that?
Well, I think, you know, any system, when you come along and say, hey, let's try something new, you have to anticipate a certain amount of, and frankly, sometimes a lot of resistance to change.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you have to, you know, you have to fight the system. So at one level, you're looking at a generation of nutritionists who were oftentimes trained 20, 30 years ago, as well as administrators that, for all intents and purposes, their machines just chugging along. And here we're coming along saying, hey, let's look at the whole thing from soup to nuts, you know, what seniors are fed, where they're fed, what they do before, during, and after. You know, I'm just suggesting, and I think it's pretty clear, that the baby boomers are not going to be your grandfather's senior. They're going to want a whole different construct around aging, and I think what we're trying to do here and many other places is just get out in front and start the experiments now.
So what is that construct going to be?
Well, I think you're going to see a generation of much more nutritionally sophisticated seniors who are actually going to rebel against, you know, a processed meal, for lack of a better phrase. They're going to have their own kind of culture of food, which is, I think, very much part of the American landscape now. But I think you'll see many more doctors actually talking much more openly and up to the point of prescribing better fruits and vegetables, more local foods, healthier meals. So from every corner, I think the pressure is going to be on the system to deliver a better product. I think the question is, how do you do it for a reasonable amount of money? That's the experiment we're deeply into. How do you feed more people a healthier meal for less money?
All right. So the obvious question, how do you feed more people for not a great deal of money?
Well, you know, one of the breakthroughs we had in Washington, D.C. with the D.C. Central Kitchen, which I ran for many, many years and is now led by a great colleague, Mike Curtin, was going out to buy food from farmers. Instead of the charitable model of waiting for farmers to donate it, we started going out saying, hey, can we talk about buying the stuff that you might not have a good market for because it's overripe, underripe, bent, broken, bruised. And what we found is that we could access, you know, literally tons of locally sourced food that all it took was a little flip of a knife to remove that bruise or blemish. So that opened a huge door to a level of affordability for school food that we want to just transplant out here in Los Angeles, where you have, you know, just an insane growing season. So we can access incredibly beautiful, healthy food year round.
So you're more or less, are you still in a startup situation at this point?
Well, we are. I mean, in fact, we partnered with a great senior meal program here, St. Vincent Meals on Wheels, that opened their kitchen to us to come in and begin our job training program. But our physical kitchen opened about 9 months ago. But sadly, I always say I love my job, I hate my business, because what we're looking at is thousands of Angelenos, and sadly, tens of thousands, most likely, who are going to need some kind of nutritional support. So we're prepared to do between 10 and 15,000 a day when we really get up and going.
That's really impressive. What would be a typical meal?
Well, just yesterday, we served salmon with buckwheat soba noodles and kind of a soba noodle coleslaw mix and then glazed carrots. So, and again, what's nice is we're able to include a lot of the California products. So, again, what we're after constantly is how can we source local, prepare freshly scratched meals, employ people, but like I said, get a meal in front of a senior that, you know, is really healthy, but it really looks like somebody made it. You know what I mean? I want people to really look down and say, wow, you know, that's like restaurant quality food. That's a beautiful dish. I want people to feel the love in it.
Thank you for talking with us, Robert.
Oh, it's been a pleasure, Lynn. Thank you.
Robert Ager is founder and president of LA Kitchen.